This podcast was recorded on Thursday, February 24th at 10:47 a.m. Things will have changed by the time you hear this. Let's just say that.
Yeah, like Russia's president might not be calling it a, quote, special military operation, and will call it what it is, an all-out invasion.
It's all in the branding, Steve. Let's talk Ohio politics.
This is Snolly Goster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and those shrewd politicians or snollygosters who, when faced with a contempt of court charge, say, you know what, maybe it's possible after all. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, the back rooms may be gone from party politics, but the backroom politics are not.
They certainly are not. But first, the saga that is Ohio's legislative map drawing process continues. As you probably know at this point, the Redistricting Commission at first thumbed its nose at the Ohio Supreme Court that it produce maps that reflect Ohio's political balance.
Then the Ohio Supreme Court ordered the commission to explain themselves.
And then the commission met and said, you know what, on second thought, let's give it another try. Their explanation to the court essentially, this is hard. We could not come up with a map in 10 days, and so please cut us some slack. We're still trying.
Yes. Joining us to discuss this latest in this ever-changing process is Ohio Public Radio's Andy Chow, our go-to guy on political cartography. Andy, welcome back to Snolly Goster.
Hey, Mike and Steve.
All right. This has been called a game of chicken between legislative leaders and the Ohio Supreme Court. From reading the commission's less than strident response to the court's order, it looks like the commission might be ready to swerve away from a collision. Are we reading this right?
You know, if we had to read the tea leaves here, I think that's a pretty good interpretation of what's going on right now. Like you said, when the Redistricting Commission missed its deadline, they were basically saying, hey, we're putting the ball back in your court. What do you want to do about it? And when the Supreme Court fired back and said, all right, now you have to explain yourself. Tell us why you should not be held in contempt of court for not following our order. And then just a few days later, like you said, they started changing their tune. You had different Republican leaders saying, who once said that it couldn't be done, now saying that it could be done. And the other big component, I think, here, included with the Ohio Supreme Court and the Republican legislative leaders, that's House Speaker Bob Cupp and Senate President Matt Huffman. The other component here are the Republican statewide elected officials who are on the Redistricting Commission. That's Governor Mike DeWine, Auditor Keith Faber, and Secretary of State Frank LaRose. I think those three really don't want to be held in contempt of court. I think they're tired of playing whatever game's been happening here.
Well, Andy, they also said, You can't just let your lawyers explain why you didn't do this map. You got to show up yourselves next week in front of the Supreme Court. So you're going to have Mike DeWine, Frank LaRose, Keith Faber, Bob Cupp, and President Huffman lined up in front of the justices having to explain themselves.
Just like tobacco CEOs.
I don't think they want to do that.
They will be allowed to have counsel with them. And then, you know, the other thing to mention here is that there are two Democratic leaders on the Ohio Redistricting Commission as well. They are also respondents, so they will likely have to appear in court also. But the Democratic leaders have their own argument to make because they tried to get a map passed before the deadline, and it was rejected by the five Republican members of the commission.
Just guessing here, they were the first RSVP to that Supreme Court invitation.
Yeah, but they're the ones who actually brought it up when we were getting closer and closer to the court's deadline, and it seemed like no moves were being made. You had House Minority Leader Allison Russo saying, you know, the court has some tools at its disposal to use if we don't follow this. So they were the ones who suggested it pretty early on.
You know, Russo and Senator Vernon Sykes, they at least have some plausible deniability here. They tried to approve maps that they contended were constitutional. As we said, Matt Huffman and some other members of the commission said, it's impossible for us to approve a map that will appease the Supreme Court. We just can't do it without violating these other provisions of the constitutional requirements for gerrymandering. Now they're saying they can. Has anything substantially changed? Or, again, is this just them flinching in a game of chicken?
Well, the other thing to include in all of this is that Republican voters, and mostly made up of people who are with anti-abortion groups, filed a federal lawsuit wondering if they could go above and over the heads of the Ohio Supreme Court to get something going in their favor. And I think that this is sort of telling that because the Republicans on the commission are moving, I think that's maybe alluding to the idea that maybe that federal lawsuit isn't really going to go anywhere. And it's important to note too that although the Republican members of the commission said that the Democratic maps that have been proposed would have been found unconstitutional, it's the Republicans who are the only ones who have actually passed maps that have been found unconstitutional. So you have Democrats saying that it's pretty hypocritical for the Republicans to say that to claim that one map is unconstitutional when they themselves have passed two state legislative maps and one and then the General Assembly, but they themselves have passed two state legislative maps that have been found unconstitutional by the Ohio Supreme
Andy, was
Court.
There ever any fact checking on that? Did anyone ever look into these maps and say, you know what, Republicans are right? Because, you know, they constantly were claiming that the Democratic maps were unconstitutional, but they never proved it. I never saw anything proving those claims.
Yeah. I think the big thing here is no one's arguing that this isn't a difficult thing to do. So the things that Senate President Matt Huffman pointed out that could have been violations of the Constitution, they were technically violations in one way or another if you don't want to split up political subdivisions. But if you were to go into the legalese of all of it, you have constitutional people, lawyers who argued that on the basis of precedent, that it would not have been found unconstitutional. And to take a step back, the Ohio Supreme Court has already planted a flag in the sand saying the really big overarching constitutional requirement here is to follow the proportionality of Ohio, that 54% of Ohioans usually vote Republican and 46% usually vote Democratic. So a House map and a Senate map need to reflect that proportionality, and that still has not been done by the commission.
You know what's difficult is to create a map that makes sure that your party stays in power, that makes sure that each sitting senator and state rep has a good chance of reelection, and also tries, you know, that's what's difficult. If you just looked at these maps with total blinders on and just carved up the state, and Democrats are responsible for this in other states as Republicans are here, yes, it's difficult, but it probably would be easier to just draw a new map based on population and keeping communities whole. And not, if you totally took politics out of it, which is impossible, I know. But
computers are pretty smart. This can be done. This is not a math problem. This is a political problem.
Yeah.
And everybody agrees that Republicans will have a majority. They would have a 54-46 majority in the House and Senate. But right now, what they've been fighting for is that supermajority.
Yeah. We're still waiting for the congressional map, and this is nothing compared to what we're going to face with the congressional map, because here's what happens. To meet that 54-46 threshold, the map has to give Democrats at least a solid chance in 6 out of 15 congressional districts. Right now, the Democrats only have 3. You could argue that the Democrats should have 7 congressional districts, because they actually need 6.9 if you do the math. Mm-hmm. And with those 3 districts, if they switch to Democrats, that will decide who controls Congress, whether Nancy Pelosi or Kevin McCarthy is the speaker, whether the January 6th commission continues its work unimpeded. The fight over these state legislative districts is nothing compared to what we're going to face with Congress. You agree, Andy?
Yeah. And also on top of everything, you know, all the states had to go through their redistricting process. But Ohio is one of the only games in town that's still going on. So now all eyes are on Ohio, and that could tip the scales, tip the balance one way or another on this slight lead that the Democrats have, the slight majority that they have in the U.S. House. And like you said, Mike, 54 to reflect the proportionality of Ohio, a map could go about split about 8-7, 8 Republican seats, 7 Democratic seats. And that's going to be a really big fight that's on the horizon for the redistricting commission.
And there's good news for Democrats trying to get this done, because the U.S. Supreme Court has opted to stay out of gerrymandering cases. They don't want a part of this, so they're not going to, if they're held to precedent, which is always an argument, right, whether that'll change or not. But precedent says the U.S. Supreme Court will not step in here and override the Ohio Supreme Court.
Yeah. So, Andy, as we record this at about 11 o'clock on Thursday morning, we do perhaps expect to get new state legislative maps today. They may actually be out before this podcast actually drops. Any word on when the congressional map might come out? Because candidates face a deadline next Friday, mm-hmm. March 4th.
That's right.
They have to declare where they're going to run for Congress. And they don't even know where their districts are going to be.
Yeah, so the congressional maps are due to the court by mid-March. But like you said, there's a deadline that happens even earlier than that. You have leaders on the commission who say that they're really working hard. They're close to something here. But as of right now, there is no timetable for congressional maps because a lot of this time is being spent on drawing up new state legislative maps, and then they have to appear in court. So that's going to take time, too.
Now, getting to the primary, Andy, because all of this complicates the primary. When we first heard Matt Huffman say that there might be a split primary for the legislative and congressional races and then other statewide races held at a separate time, Mike and I thought that was just crazy, that was untenable, that it would cost too much money. Now it's seeming more like a reality. Frank LaRose this week said that it was, quote, impossible to see a scenario where we had a complete primary on May 3rd. Where does that process stand right now? And is the idea of two separate primaries gaining traction?
It's really become a huge dilemma. The fact that you have this ticking clock on the primary happening as the redistricting commission tries to come up with these new maps. Like you said, LaRose is saying it can't happen. Yost is saying it can't happen. But then you talk to the legislative leaders, the body of government that actually has the power to extend the primary. And people like Republican Speaker Bob Kupp says that it's a hard sell among Republican lawmakers to convince them to vote on extending to change the primary to a later date. So instead, you might see, like you said, a bifurcated primary, a second primary just for these state and congressional races. And that will take a lot of money, $15 to $25 million, if you want to hold a primary again. And it's going to take a lot of time because you have to let the local boards of elections work through the entire process of that May 3rd primary before they can even begin to start up proceedings on another primary. So this is just a really big jumble at this point. Mm-hmm. And you have different leaders, even among Republicans, arguing about what to do next.
You know what would be ideal? If only Bob Kupp sat on an important state commission that was in charge of drawing districts that were proportional to Ohio's voting preferences, then maybe he wouldn't be put in this tough position of having to split the primary. Yeah. I mean, that would be ideal, right, if he was sat on a commission like that.
It's like a circular firing squad.
I mean, what a farce where Bob Kupp is angry that the state is in this position.
Right. And then you also have, along with Kupp, you have Senate President Matt Huffman, who seems to believe, when we were talking to him the other day, that he thinks it is possible for new plans to be drafted, to go through the court process, and to still meet all these deadlines. Now, that would be a very heavy lift, and we haven't seen it happen yet, although that might be signaling that there is a change of heart here, where you have different members of the commission ready to sort of play ball with what the Supreme Court's been saying.
Yeah, or perhaps even play ball with the Democrats, because, I mean, they could approve a map. I mean, Mike DeWine, Frank LaRose could join with the two Democrats, and we're done. I don't think politically that would be wise to do. But, with them both facing primary opponents, depends on how bad they want to anger the far right on their party. But they could do it in an ideal world. It's just, there's got to be a better way.
I just want to say again that Democrats do this in states where they hold power, and it's just
New York.
It's just gross.
New York is just as bad as we are on the other way.
Yeah, and it's just gross. I don't understand. I do understand. There's so much money and power at stake that they're clinging to it with every bit of energy they have. But it's so anti-democratic.
Yeah, you're rigging the system.
State House correspondent Andy Chow giving us the latest on redistricting, a word that is still hard for me to say. As a news anchor, you'd think I would. Andy, can you give me a redistricting real quick?
Redistricting.
Ah, he's better at it than me.
He's got that plosive T in the middle.
I still kind of slur it together. Yeah. Andy Chow, our State House News Bureau correspondent.
Call it gerrymandering. Call it what it is.
Giving us the latest on gerrymandering, whatever you want to call it. Andy, thanks again for joining Snollygoster.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Andy.
We'll be right back.
Support for WOSU podcasts comes from listeners. You can give at WOSU.org. Thank you for supporting digital content from WOSU Public Media.
This is Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media, and we end our podcast with the Snollygoster of the Week, honoring the shrewdest politician or political group in this case. And this week, it's the Ohio Democratic Party. They met last week to discuss whether to endorse candidates. There are only two big races on the primary ballot that they had to worry about, governor and U.S. Senate.
Yeah, and the way modern parties work is voters in the party choose their candidates in primary elections, right? I think we all basically know that. No more smoke-filled back rooms with exercise-challenged older white gentlemen picking other white gentlemen to run against the other party's gentlemen. So you'd think modern party leaders would get out of the way and leave it to voters, right?
Or at least be consistent in their policies. The state Democratic Party chose to stay neutral in the governor's race between former Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley and former Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley. But they gave their endorsement to Congressman Tim Ryan in the U.S. Senate race over the objections of his opponent, Morgan Harper.
Yeah, who is a farther left progressive activist. I wonder if that has anything to do with it. Yeah. Republicans are the same, but opposite in this case. They stayed neutral in the Senate race, but they endorsed Mike DeWine over Jim Renacci in the governor's race. But at least DeWine is a sitting governor. It'd be very hard for the party to not endorse the sitting governor.
You got to stick with your party leader, so we'll cut them a little bit of slack. So, for putting their thumbs on some scales and not others, Ohio Democrats, you are our Snollygosters of the Week.
It was very hard not to give it to Vladimir Putin this week, but that was a little too obvious.
Yeah, he's not, well, he hasn't invaded Ohio yet either, so.
That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. If you have a suggestion for next week, you can email it to us at snollygoster@wosu.org. As always, you can also leave us a review on iTunes or just tell your friends about us. Until next week, for our audio producer, Eric French, and our web producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.